46. This must have marked him all.
546.
The Hamel is Shoah Yivakshu Nafshi Yavo Besach Tioi Sarets. Pasig Yud. Pasig Yud, 546. Mizmar Samach Gimel. David here is explaining two statements. Now, one is saying that they, my enemies, which means that in the context is the people that the David's, the camp of Shaul. Shaul is in hot pursuit of David. They, Lishoah Yivakshu Nafshi, they desire that my neshama be destroyed. Shoah, okay, that's the word there.
Check your mic, please.
Testing,
1, 2, 3.
Elisheva, Bash, Loma Zalman.
That's
your Shviga? Oh, your Shviga, wow. Today's the day. Today is the day. The Shviga of all Shvigas. The queen of the Shvigas.
Well, let's put it this way. She never met you. She still has a chance.
Woohoo, what a day. Okay. Today's watch out. Gotta watch you every step today. Okay, the Hema, these people, Lishoa Yivakshu Nafshi. They desire that I be obliterated. Okay, the word show, we discussed a number of times, the word show is the word that the Jewish nation has chosen to use to describe Holocaust. The Holocaust also is a word. All these are words. Who invented these words? We discussed many times. Who invented the word show? Who invented the word Holocaust? When did these words first appear on the scene? These two words, and now it's become part of our lexicon. Okay, the Holocaust, the Shoah. I don't think anyone chose it. It just happened.
I don't mean food or political. I mean the word itself.
The word is a hard word to translate. It's a very hard word. How does it say? We learned in Yeshaya many times. We learned in Yeshaya. That's where the word appears numerous times, and it means chaos, pretty much.
Actually, they usually translate it as desolation.
Yeah, it depends on the context. It's not an easy word to translate. Likvurta yispun, to be buried in the ground, kvura. Well, unfortunately, we all know too well is that the victims of the Holocaust, many of them were not buried, and those that were buried were buried in a disgraceful, horrific way, mass graves. Many of them, in the beginning of the Holocaust, they were actually killed in the grave. They were told to jump into, they were put in the like sardines, and then they shot them while they were lying. They were in the grave. It's you know, that's the big topic of. and the crematoriums, I mean, many people, they were not buried altogether. So you're saying really good. I didn't pay attention to that. That the Targum, the word likvurta, is not really, if you look at the Targum, is not the word you would use to describe the Holocaust. No way. And you know that.
Now we ask what the word Holocaust means.
Oh, so what does it mean? Google dictionary. Yeah.
A burnt offering.
What? A burnt offering? That's what it means? You gotta be kidding. Let's go look it up. I never heard that before. Doesn't mean anything. I haven't heard anything before. Let's look it up. Holocaust, the mere definition.
Not the event, but the derivation.
Destruction or slaughter on a mass scale, especially caused by a fire or nuclear war. Historical.
That was updated.
Historical, a sacrifice in which the offering was burned completely on an altar. Wow. Psst. Wow, so the secular Jews would accept such a word to describe people that they're unfortunately, there are not very many non-believers out there. And you say the word sacrifice, burnt as on altars, that's a religious connotation.
That is the original.
Wow, okay, you learn something new every day. That's pretty interesting. That's very, very interesting. Okay, there are more generations over here. There are more translations over here. Okay, you're really
those
good.
Those definitions are related to events.
They have a lot of Google. They have the whole the origin of the word. They have from Greek. Greek is kalin, burn, holos, whole, and kostos, burn, holokoston, holokoston, late Latin, old French, holocausti, middle English is holocaust. Psst. Very interesting. Okay. Okay, so this is the word Shoah, for whatever the reason, this is the word which has taken traction. It has, you know, things have a life of its own, and there are certainly those that are not in favor of this translation. Over here in the Mitzvah Stotzim, it says L'shoel Inyan Shemama. Inyan Shemama means desolation, destruction. Okay, fine. You know, Rav Chudna wrote a very popular, I think he was popular in this regard, but I not too many people accept what he said, and that he did not. He was very, he did not favor the word Shoah.
They are good also.
They are good, whatever, okay, I don't know, I'm not. But it's not just Korban Europe, that's the problem. Why you call it Europe? It's more than just Europe. It was all over. Yeah. Okay. In any event, the Hema Lashoa Yivakshu Nafshi, these David's enemies, they seek out that David should be destroyed, Shemama. And now David curses them. Here is a curse. He vacillates between, you know, have one pasuk. In the pasuk there is an observation, there's a curse. Yavohu Besach Tiyos Aretz, may they enter into the bottom of the earth. They need to connect. They want to go put me in the ground, as the Targum says, Likvurta. May they go underneath, deep, deep down inside. Let's see what it says in the Mitzvah David. Who is the Hema? Who is the subject of the Hema? They want to destroy my neshama and to take my life. Now that is something that is not what you would say. If not for the Mitzvah, you would not say this. They want to make it as if I am evil, I'm wicked, and a chayte. Okay, where do you see that? Where do you see that in this pasuk? They l'sho'ah yivakshu nafshu, because it says the word neshama, doesn't say guf. They want to paint me. They want to present me as a wicked person, as a sinner. That's definitely a translation that you really have to struggle. Where did the Mitzudas David find in this pasuk an indication that is what they wanted for David? Yavohu, may they enter, Yavohu besachtis, lozeh, in retribution, mida k'neged mida, Yavohu besachtis, aretz, mushpalim, ad ofer, they should be lowered to dust. All right, let's see. Rashi, pasuk good v'hema oivai, my enemies, l'shok yivakshu nafshi, bo'im alai b'marov b'yoyim afeila, they come against me in ambush on a day of darkness. So look, note that according to Rashi, Shoah, he's translating a day of darkness, sheloi argish bohem, and I should not detect that they are about to attack me. They come upon, they ambush me. And he's saying that L'shoya is on a dark day. Mm-hmm. Interesting. So we have already three translations just on this page for the word Shoah, and more with Google. Well, Google's not saying anything Holocaust. That's not the word we're talking about. But already either Shemama or Shemama. Okay, then Rashi here said it means, or the Targum said it means Kivura. And Rashi is saying it means a day of darkness. Yavo David curses them. Yavo b'sachti oisaretz b'makam shafal sh'ol v'shucha, a low place. That a grave, v'shucha, is a pit. Yavo'u, may they enter, v'yiplu, and may they fall. Okay, that is Rashi. Let's see what it says in Radak. Pasuk Yud v'heima. Heima, they wrote my those that pursue me. Shemavakshim lafshi l'shoa k'loimar. Radak gets a little poetic over here, and he just elaborates on the word shoa. It should be desolate. Same idea. And let's see the.
Is he referring to the soul or the body?
My soul, my neshama. I don't know. He says neshama. Neshama seems more to be the spiritual essence of the person.
But Rashi was more the physical, right?
Correct. You're right. Rashi's style doesn't really say exactly. Doesn't say anything. Rashi just leaves it out. Rashi just says my nafshi. Doesn't translate it. You're right. Okay. Is it the physical, or is it? From Rashi, the impression is my physical being. Mm-hmm. They're coming upon me upon a dark day. It's a mashal. To lay an ambush and to get me. True. Okay, and Targum says the word nafshi, vehinun.
The question is it, you're saying here that David HaMelech wants them to fail and to fall.
Well, that's the second half of the pasuk. That's the midah k'neged midah.
Okay. But their motive, their intent, was either physical or
spiritual.
Yeah.
Well, according to the Mitzudos, he says something off the chart. He says that they want to portray me as a sinner, a rasha, and a chayte. That is certainly spiritual.
Right.
They want to present me to, well, I'm an evil person. And Mimela, I'm gonna wither away. According to other mafarshim, it's more physical.
What?
Everyone here is pretty much saying Shoval. Who's they? Who's they? It means those that are pursuing. The context of this Mizmar, almost everyone on the page seems to say that we're dealing with Shoval. It's a historical.
And Shoval looking to kill him.
Correct. But he's saying more. The Mitzvah is saying not just looking to kill him, looking to.
As if I were a sinner.
Right. He wants to. My legacy in this world should be that David was an evil person. He was a Rasha and a Chayte. That's the legacy that we're trying to portray David for future generations. All right, let's now see over here what it says in the Malbim. The Malbim on page 547. The Malbim is the only one here on the page that is connecting this pasuk to the previous pasuk. The previous pasuk, David first builds up. It's beautiful what the Malbim is doing. The Malbim is saying, David on the previous page, he builds up his neshama. He's saying that my neshama is pure. Elokai neshama shnosata b'tohorihi. And my neshama has dveikus b'Hashem. This whole pasuk is a very passionate description of David's connection from the very beginning. Elokim. Keliata Ashachareka Sama Lucha Nafshi Koma Lucha Vesari. And then he goes on to say how in the morning I want to praise. Every pasuk over here is a passionate description of David's longing for Hashem. And according to the Malbim, it's really powerful what's happening here. David is building up his neshama and to say, and this is what he wants to destroy. And this neshama he wants to destroy. It reflects a lot on what kind of person Shaul is and Shaul's men. It's one thing you walk into court and you say, oh, you know, someone tried to kill me. And who are you? I'm a homeless nobody. Oh, and someone wanted to kill you? You probably were in their way. Probably, you know, there's good reason. And then you walk in and say, you know who I am? I am, tell me a chashva person. I wouldn't say, you know, the President of the United States because... I'm a prince, I'm a king, I'm the wealthiest man in the world, I'm an important person, and this fellow tried to kill me. I'm John F. Kennedy. Okay, I'm John F. Kennedy. And look, someone tried to assassinate me. How do you know? Because he did. He did. Oh, that's a whole different story. Oh, David here, according to the Malbim, it's incredible. The entire first section, into the first 9 pesukim of this mizmar, is an introduction to this pasuk. David builds up his neshama as the most glorious, most beautiful, spectacular item in this world. And this is what this wicked man wants to destroy. That creates an entirely different reaction. A good lawyer, you come to court and you argue before the judge. So if you're a shvach lawyer, you're very boring and the judgment goes against you. But if you're a good lawyer, you know how to really spin things and how to influence the thinking of the jury and the judge. And, you know, you take the same exact case, and if you have a good lawyer, the outcome is completely different. Not because the facts are any different, it's because you have to know how to present. There's a lot to be said about the presentation of your argument. And according to the Malbim over here is hitting the nail on the head, and he's saying an awesome pshat. Aval, look again over here, what is in the Malbim on the bottom of page 547. Aval oivai, heimo l'sho yivakshu navshi. Navshi hayikara hazois. Read the first 9 psukim. Asher ikar miga mosoi hu hadveikus b'Hashem. Yivakshu heimo l'sho. V'choyshach, they are trying desperately to destroy. Ki yivakshu l'okra me'artzai sachayim, they're trying to uproot it from the living. V'gam yovohu b'sachtiyos aretz. Now, according to the Malbim, here is another deviation. Everyone that we learned until now learns that the second half of the pasuk is a curse. Mm-hmm. What they're doing to me made boomerang and come upon them. Right. According to the Malbim, it's not a curse. It's part of the description of the crime that they are engaged in. They are searching after me. They're going underground. They're using every tool in their toolkit. They're doing everything they can possibly do to uproot me, to find where I am. V'heimo yovo b'sachti oisaretz. No stone unturned. Heim ha'ma'oros the cave, z'amachilos the cavity, sh'b'midbar, sh'bikshu as David. They checked out. It's like the Taliban in Torah Borah. Caves. It's like Torah Borah. Remember Torah Borah? Same thing. It's like cavities. I guess clefts of the rock, different whatever, cavities, different holes, different tunnels. A tunnel. Sheba Midbar. You ever see these tunnels they have in America? They have in all over the United States. They have these incredible secret tunnels. There are videos of them all over the place. Who made these tunnels? These incredible tunnels they have. They have. Government made these. Who made these tunnels? Incredible things. Like it's just not to be believed. These tunnels. So it says over here, you remember those days in Afghanistan, the wars in Torah Bora, and it's basically an impossible war because there are enormous web of tunnels and caves and cavities, and you can't go. You can't even know where they are. You can't go check out all these places and find where they are. These are natural caves and tunnels and cavities. But Shaul, when he chased after David, he left no stone unturned. He examined every single cavity, tunnel, pit, hiding place in the world in where David was suspected of being, to find David. And that's when he's over here. They'd go, Yavo b'sachti yisaretz. They left no stone unturned. Heimah ha'ma'oris ha'machilos ha'bemidbar shebikshu shomes David ken nizkar b'sefer Shmuel, as it says in Sefer Shmuel. Okay, let's see what is over here in the Sipurno. V'heimo l'sho yivakshu nafshi in the Sipurno. V'yoysam shivakshu nafshi l'hora lo b'oifen sheyishtohu v'yoshomu olecha rabim kimo haziv v'zulosam. Okay, the people who want to destroy, like the Zifim. Notice that the Sipurno is not describing Shaul. He v'zulosam. You know, he goes now into the next. We'll leave that because he goes into the next pasuk. All right, let's now take a look over here.
Shaul is being a Russian? I don't think he's a Russian. It could be other, the other people, yeah, but I don't think people consider Shaul Russian.
Shaul is very problematic. We're going to see something that is shocking in the next, the Pasuk Yud Beis. We had the Pasuk Yud Beis, we're going to see something that is very, very shocking, which, at least to me, you know, it's very disturbing. We're going to get into a second. But, I mean, Shaul is trying to kill the Mashiach Hashem. How do you explain
he
that? What? David?
No.
Yeah. Whoa. David was Shmor B'Malchus? How could you say that? How could you say that? I never heard such a thing. Maybe I'm wrong. It doesn't mean anything about what I think. Shaul was Shmor, David was Shmor B'Malchus? How was... Okay, he was delusional. He was delusional. He tried to kill him. I mean, he was delusional. Shaul was anointed by Shmuel, and he failed. He failed in his mission multiple times. There were two major mistakes he made. And it was even more than that, it seems. And then Shmuel said to Shaul, that's it, you're out. Hashem has decided no longer you're the king. You're out. I anointed you, and Hashem has decided to replace you because you failed in your mission. Number one, when you became the king, I told you to wait for me. Do not offer the sacrifice until I show up. And you succumb to public pressure. They wanted... And you failed, you offered the sacrifice before I arrived. It was a test. And then with Agag, Melchemes HaMalek, he failed. And I think there was another time also he failed, and Shmuel said, Atkan.
Each of his failures, I mean, they weren't out of Rishon, that terrible mistake.
It doesn't matter, you didn't get the job done.
I mean, it wasn't where he was a Russian. He wasn't the Russian. You know?
But then, the slippery slope syndrome. Then after he wasn't a, you know, you definitely can't say he was a rush. He just failed, absolutely not. But then when Shmuel told him, you're out. Hashem has decided to replace you. And he could not accept. And that triggered behavior that was very disturbing. He sensed, he became paranoid. And what does it mean? You know, the paranoid, I mean, is a medical condition to a degree. And the question is, you can't go, Chas v'Shalom describe the holy people of Shalom, M'shichmai u'lamala, there was no like in the entire Klal Yisrael. You can't go, we threw around these words. He was paranoid, you would say he was bipolar, schizophrenia, you would say all these words today. Today they would give you a whole long list.
Depression,
yeah, and today, you know, you read the psukim, and you use the terminology of today's generation, and it's sad that we, you know, take these terms and we apply it to people that we have absolutely no understanding of. This is very important. You say, you know, in Tanakh, I was going back. Fine, I'm going back to that sefer that I didn't really pay much attention to, but I see how powerful it is because I keep on referring back to it. They have their collection of articles. It's rewritten from the Gedolei Yisrael about you know Tanakh, how to teach Tanakh, how to teach Tanakh to children. And this is an old Yisrael, it just resurfaced, and it just the way it's presented there in a very powerful way is, when you teach Tanakh, the most critical thing to teach in teaching, this is what it says, I think of Aaron Kotler, maybe, I take that back, of Yaakov Kamenetsky. Rav Shmuel Kamenetsky had a stroke yesterday. Sherefua Shalema.
Amen.
And Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky, he says that when you teach children Tanakh, the most important thing is to teach them they are not like us. The Ishei HaTanakh are Malachi Elohim. Don't judge them and superimpose upon them your Kleina Hasagas, your rivalries and your jealousy. We get jealous of people, and we have these Kleina Hasagas about the way we look at each other. You look at people today, oh, it's all about money, it's about kavod, it's about revenge, it's about grudges, we bear grudges. And so we look at the stories in Tanakh, oh, this one had a grudge against this one, this one he needed to make a parnasa, he needed to have a legacy, he wanted to give over parnasa to his children. Today you look at people, and you right away suspect there's always an agenda. There's an agenda. Their children need parnasa, so that's why they did this. Their wife, they don't want to have a fight with their wife, so that's why they did this. It's about money. It's about COVID. It's about jealousy. It's about revenge. Even very great chasher Rosh Hashivas, you know, we look at them and we start, you know, in our mind we start playing around. Don't go and use those same ideas that we often that float around in our mind about contemporaries and apply them to the Ishei HaTanach. The Ishei HaTanach are Kodesh Kodoshim. And there must be a clear understanding, a clear awareness. They are not like us. They are Malachei Elohim. And unfortunately, the more modern, the more secular study of Tanakh, this is a very, very big problem. A very big problem. And they look at Abraham like, you know, like some, the Dalai Lama. Okay? Well, I'm not joking. Dalai Lama, what is he? You know what Dalai Lama is? Yeah, you look, I'm a shugoyim, I'm a sick people. What? These are sick people. The people in the secular world, they look at the Ishei HaTanach as if they're living today in the 21st century. And they superimpose upon them these petty narisha motives to explain what's going on. And Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky says that this is poison to the kedusha of Torah. So we talk about Shaul, and you read about the things, the way he behaved. It's very easy to go and talk to a psychologist, and it'll give you a psychoanalysis. In the 21st century, and he'll prescribe for him medication. Go to a psychologist. Yeah.
Shaul's name is used till this day. Shaul, people name their children after Shaul.
Okay, so?
No. They'll name me after the other kings.
The tzaddik. Shaul is his Kodesh Kodashim. It's Kodesh Kodashim. Oh, but he did these very strange things. He tried to kill David, and we see some more things that he did. He killed Nevi Akrehanim. He wiped out the Holy East of the Holy. He destroyed the Mishkan. He killed them all. I mean, what's going on over here?
He held them for more than 2 months.
Yeah, but he was wrong.
I understand, but I'm not saying he was so right, but you have to understand how he approached this whole thing.
It's very hard to understand this, but you have to. But the first thing is you have to step back and acknowledge is that they are Malachi Elohim. Anyone that's mentioned in Tanakh, even Asaph. Asaph is a complicated person. All right, let's go back over here. Okay, so this we have over here, what it says over here, the Malm over here is very beautiful. Malm over here says that they went and they sought after me. We did the Malm. You want to go look over here, the Chomes Hanoch. The Chomes Hanoch over here is a little bit, let's see what it says over here. I don't know what this means exactly, but he's saying something very mystical. I'm not sure what this means. David wanted to learn Torah, and David said, and you have to say the person that's chayiv misa. He's not allowed to learn. You ever heard this thing before? I never heard this before. Guys on death row. Could I, you know, before I die, you know, give me a Mishnais. You know, I want to start learning Mishnais. No. What? Yeah, the Afyomi. You're not allowed to go to the Amu. The Amin Hagim. You're not allowed to go to the Amu without a Gartel in some persons.
On death row, they have a
Daf. A Daf what?
A year.
I don't get it. What do you say?
It's all right, death row, he said.
Death row year? One year? I don't get it. All right, whatever. Over here, I never heard of such a thing. He writes that a person's chayiv misa is not allowed to learn. Why not? Why can't you learn? Because you chayiv misa. My Indian shmita is la Sinai. He writes to the Levites, since they paskined on me, psak halacha, David is chayiv misa. David is a married by Malchus, I'm chayiv misa, and therefore he's not allowed to engage in the study of Torah. And David says, what am I going to do with my life? The only thing, that's what I do. I go to the Beis Rosh and I learn. What am I going to do? Am I reading this right? I have to go look up this Gemara. I never heard this before. Sh'ayim shani chayiv misa, v'nigzra like gezera, v'hevel yifsepiem, shemi, shenigzra, olav gezera, Eino yachol lilmoid kemosha kosav harambam beferish hamishnah. I mashak asavti lel. I don't know what this means. We have to look this up. Inami b'masha amu v'lemole hakadosh baruch hu oyzro eino yacholo v'zeo shamar dov kenavshi achadecha v'ani dovek b'chav loy mitzit kasi ki ein bikoyach lozer rakatan hu ki bi tamcha yimine. This is the previous pesukim. V'ayde shata taimich bi dov kenavshi achadecha. Okay, let's leave that. Okay. All right, so this is the basic Yisoidos. Now let's go to the next pasuk. The next pasuk over here is a hard pasuk. Pasuk Yud Aleph. Yagiruhu al yidei chorev, menos shu'olim yiyu. According to Moses and Mepharshim, this is a curse. The Malbim will follow through, that is part of the description. But according to the Moses and Mepharshim, this is David is coming to curse them. And he uses here an interesting word. The word is Yagiruhu. Shalom Aleichem. You came just in time for the Pasuk Yidbeis V'Hamelech. For the king. Pasuk Yidbeis, we learn about the Melech.
With a small K.
A small K, okay. V'Hamelech, we're going to come to the Melech soon. You just came just in time. His name is King. What's your first name?
What?
What's your first name? Chaim King.
Chaim Beirach. Not Baruch.
Chaim Baruch.
Berach.
Chaim Berach King. Berach. Chassid Shahavar? What do you mean? That's the word. What do you mean, Berach?
Berach. It's Gevenster Chaim. It's a Roman.
Boruch.
Boruch.
Berach. Chaim Berach King.
It's the same letters both ways.
Okay. Rav Chaim Berach. Okay. King. V'hamelech. V'hamelech. Your wife's name is Malka.
Yeah.
Her first name.
King.
Your last name is King. And her first name is Malka.
What could be more b'shah than that?
Malka.
Unbelievable. Okay. Pasuk, but we're not up to that pasuk yet. You have to get a few more minutes. A few more minutes. You came early. Pasuk Yud Aleph. Yagiruhu. Al yidei chorev. What does the word yagiruhu mean? This is a hard word. It means to flow. Or it means to melt. The word is usually used in reference to a liquid. And sometimes it means to liquefy. To liquefy. And sometimes it means that it's going to flow. To flow. And in essence, this word is a borrowed word. And it's describing a violent death. It's used in this context to describe that my enemy shouldn't just die, on their deathbed, surrounded by their family with nice candles being lit. It should be like Friday the 13th, a horror movie. They should flow, the blood should flow. This, like they have in these videos, this is adult discretion advised. It should be molus, like the Vilna Gaon says. It says cherev v'herig. What's cherev v'herig? Cherev is you stab them. Herig is you turn the knife. You turn the knife inside. Twist the knife inside. A violent, disgusting misa. It's a powerful word, and the way it's being used over here is to describe a very ugly miasadika death. Notice the passion, this mizmor, Samach Gimel, violent death. It's filled with passion. In the beginning, the first nine psukim, David describes his neshama with these incredible expressions of love and longing and yearning for Hashem. And now when he comes to his enemies, there's a parallel to describe his excitement and passion that they meet their maker. In a very violent and horrific way. And this word, yagiru, it's a dangerous word. And in this context, it means the blood should flow like a river. should flow when they die. Al yidei chorev. The word yagyud means, it's really hard to translate. It means to, well, I think to flow. I think that's really what it means now, to flow. And when ikka chosamin has safe, what's going to flow? What's going to flow? Their blood. It doesn't say the word blood, but it's implied in the context of this pasuk. Yagiruhu. Their blood should flow al yidei chorev. Minos shu'alim yihyu. They should sleep with the foxes. They sleep with the fishes?
With the fishes?
So, this is even worse. Sleep with the foxes. Okay? They should. Their bodies should be just thrown in the...
They're already dead by
then. They're dead, right? But the kavura, we don't see... This is something which we really don't understand at all about the value of kavura for the neshama. We don't understand this. We mamish... And, you know, unfortunately, we look at the Holocaust and so many people... did not have kavura. There was no kavura. 9/11, a lot of people didn't have kavura. The question is, why didn't they have kavura? Is it because their bodies were vaporized, as the government tells us? Or people read 20 years later are becoming to question the narrative of what exactly happened? How come there are no bodies? Where are all the bodies? Some of the people are missing. Some of the bodies are mamish missing. From 9/11, especially people that were on the plane. Some of them are mamish, they're no bodies. What happened to the bodies? They were vaporized. Really? Really? Everything was vaporized? What exactly? And we don't appreciate, you know, in the Holocaust, 6 million people. I mean, how many of them had a kavura? How many of them had a kavura? We don't appreciate the value to the neshama of having a proper kavura. And when David curses a Russian enemy, that they should not have a kavura, this is a very serious curse. It's not, oh, it's serious business. I know their organizations say that they try very, very hard, that people should not be cremated. There's many people, Rav Menachem Sperling, you're very much involved in this, correct? Your organizations, they raise enormous amounts of money, and it's in Chesed Shalemes, in order to save people from not being cremated. No one ever came back to tell us what this is all about, but we have emunah pshuta that the neshama has menucha only with kavura, not with other means. And here David is cursing his enemies. From the curses you can learn how important it really must be. If David says they should suffer a violent death, and on top of that the portion of the foxes should be their bodies, they should be thrown out into the forest and let animals run over their bodies, it's a pretty serious curse. Mitzudei stav, pasuk yud aleph.
Well, you told to say it. I mean, I know sometimes it works and sometimes it doesn't. But what I was, you know, told to say, the first thing is when somebody wants to be cremated, unfortunately, is didn't we burn enough bodies in World War II? That's the opening line, so to speak. You give that. And it helped a couple of times. It made somebody feel bad.
It's a yeah. Okay, let's learn over here. Pasuk. Let's learn over here. Pasuk. Yud Aleph in the Mitzudah Sadav. Now, first look over here in the Mitzudah Sion. In the Mitzudah Sion, Yagi Ruhu Inyan Ha Zola Ushficha, flowing and pouring. Okay, halaza means to flow, and Ushficha means to pour. We're dealing with a liquid. A liquid is flowing and being poured downward. And they should flow and be poured. What does that mean? Mitzvah David on the right side. Ha magirim yagiru. Now he adds more words. Those that bring this about, the magirim, those that cause, who are responsible, who are the enablers, that it should flow, may they begin the process. Now, what does that mean exactly? The yishluchu damam. How? The sword. The sword is the object which causes, enables the blood to flow down the street. Alidei chorev, the yiyu limono, and then they shall be the portion, lashu olim, ulechayas hasodeh, their bodies should be just cast out into the street, in the fields, and let the foxes, which is just a dugma, and other creatures, feed on their bodies. So the hamagirim, yagiru, is the sword. The sword is the one that enables and triggers this process of the blood flowing of these wicked people. Let's see Rashi, Pasuk Yud Aleph, Yagiruhu al Yidei Chodev, Yavohu al Roitfai Oivim, may the sword come upon my enemies, those who pursue my neshama, and V'yagiruhu kol echad mehem, and may the sword cause them to flow, every single one of them, al Yidei Chedev, Shayomisu Oisoi, they shall be killed. They should be. Now the word Vayagiru Rashi over here is not really, we're translating Vayagiru to flow. For some reason in Rashi, I don't know, something a little missing over here. I don't know, let's hold off on that for a second. Umikra Kotsarhu is a missing word. Shaloi Perashmi Yagiruhu. It's what the Mitzvah's Davi really said. It's not telling you who is the enabler, who is the trigger, who is the one that is bringing this about. Yagi ruhu l'shoim girira kimo hamugarim b'morach. I don't know what that means. Paratz nachal meir meimgor. Okay, I really should be better look up these sukkim and know this better. It means okay. We'll just leave that for now. If we have time later, I'll go look this up and get back to you on a more precise. What's that? A system is going on. We've been in Baruch Hashem a very long time. We never heard such a noise from the system. What? No, don't worry about it, whatever. If there's a problem, we'll find out about it very soon. If the world's coming to an end, they'll let us know. We'll get an amber alert on our smartphones.
Global warming?
Okay, let's see. Minashua Limke. I'm not exactly sure. We have to go look at these circles later on. We'll look at that. Let's see. Minashua Lim Yeshuvam Chorev. Where do foxes hang out? This is famous Gemara, the base Kodesh HaKadoshim. Rabbi Akiva and his Talmidim, they were, what were they doing? They were on the Har Bayis, and what did they see? They saw Shu'olim Holchimba. They saw foxes. Why? Why specifically foxes? What is the unique nature of foxes? They frequent places of desolation. The reason why we're giving you the metaphor of a fox, because a fox, as it seems from all different creatures, foxes like to hang out in a place of desolation. Other creatures, not the same. The lions, tigers, bears, they don't necessarily hang out. They hang out in the Catskills. What? Yeah. Right.
All types of
right. They ran around the streets.
Yeah,
they ran down the streets. Okay, so it says over here, Yeshuvam Chorev, their dwelling place is a place of desolation. Shualim Yel Hubo, that's what it says about the Kodesh HaKadoshim, Mahar Bayis, and it's a metaphor that these wicked people, they should be the portion of desolation. Let's see what it says in the Radak. The Radak, Pasuk Yud Gimel, Yagiru al Yidei Chodev, Yagiru Lashon Yochid, al Shaul v'inyon Yagiruhu, Yapiluhu Hamagirim. They shall be cast down by the Magirim. What's the Magirim? V'inyon Hagaruhu, Inyon Hatocho. The word Magirim, this is very similar to what it said in the Mitzvah stuff. It means a liquid that flows and it's poured. The people who pour, the people that are in charge of taking the utensil and turning it upside down and pouring, may they do their job. Yapilu hamagidim inyan hagaruhu inyan hatochas, to melt. Kimo v'chamayim hanigorim, water that flows. Eine, my eyes, nigra, my eyes flow with tears. Uvo ze haloshen b'inyan ha'ariga m'bnei hadam hanigor al yidei chonef. This word is used in reference to murder, because murder, the blood flows from the body. That word, the same thing, they were killed. They were murdered. The word vatager is a word that is a borrowed word, which means they were murdered. Murdered in a violent way where blood flows. The hushal, it is borrowed. It is a borrowed term. Gam kein zeh loshen badvarim hayiveshim. kishamis galgalim migavolanamach. This word is also used in reference to solids rolling down a mountain. Even though normally when you have something that flows, it's the liquid. A liquid, a river. The water flows down a mountain. Normally, but if you have even solid objects which are coming down, rolling down a mountain, the word can also be used. Anything that is rolling down, things that are solids, kishemiskalgalim migavolanamach lo'omoy kmo vihigarti lagai avoneha, it will flow down into the valley, her stones. You have a building, and the building is destroyed, and the stones, they roll down the mountain. Okay, they roll it, right, even, right, next, now, minosh, radak minosh sholem yu, sho'or ha-soinim shem im shol, ha-roid fe-moisi yu, chelik ha-sholim, cho'echlem ha-chalolim, ha-chalolim, ve-heim yu, chalolim ha-rev, ye-chlum ha-sholim, ve-ha-chayos, same thing we learn in the Mitzudas, is all of my enemies, Shol's people, they should all die a violent death, and their place should be in a place of desolation. Okay, so there's a new Yisoid, this word, yagiruhu. Exactly, it's they shall roll down. Well, they shall.
So if it's blood, then it's a flow. If it's the body, then it rolls or
it falls. It should fall down. Right. If it's a liquid, it's the flow down. The blood is flowing from the wound. And if it's referring to a solid, it means that their bodies shall roll down. They shall die, and they shall fall down, collapse. A solid which descends is called. We use that term yagiru. Ali day, they shall fall. They shall fall and they shall be decimated through the sword, and they shall not merit kivura. Instead, their body shall lie out in the open fields of desolation and be food for the foxes. Okay, now that is now listening to the Malbim. The Malbim is a little bit different. The Malbim is continuing in this what he said before. And he writes here, Shagam im, it's a third line on the bottom of the page, on page 547, the bottom of the page, Shagam. Im yagiru al yidei cherev, hagam sheshohul v'anoshav yagiru estod al yidei cherev. He's learning that the other way around, that Shaul is trying desperately to kill David, even though that Shaul and his men are trying to put an end to my life. V'yigorshu oisim enam oros asher hu mischamisham lizgorer to live Baratzos Sacheros, add to the point Shahmo Oros Vesachtios Eretz Ela Yihiu Minos Sholim Shesholim Yoguru Sham Bcholzos. So there were things that he's driving me out of the land.
Here he translates the word as drag, and if you think about it, it's like Mitzvah Goreris Mitzvah.
Mitzvah Goreris, was that the same word?
Yeah.
Yagiruhu?
Well,
okay.
Taken that way, then it's something that's dragged or schlepped along with it,
Okay, so he's saying the Malma is saying over here a very different interpretation. The Malma over here is saying that this is a description of what Shaul is trying to do to me. Shaul, you figured out what's going on? Mary, you figured out what's going on?
Nothing outside. Could be just
a fan is
off balance or something.
All right.
Something running into the
stream.
Or it could be nothing.
Okay, so over here, what it's saying over here is Yagiru, according to the Malbim, this is a continuation of the previous pasuk. It is describing Shaul's technique, Shaul's desire to destroy David. David is saying that they want to destroy my neshama. They have searched Yovo, they have entered Bisachtiois Arts. Shaul is on a manhunt for me. They've searched every cave, every cavity, every tunnel. And because they're searching, I have no choice but to leave the Holy Land. Yagiruhu, they have caused me to be drawn out, to be dragged. I'm a whole saying, because they're coming after me with a sword to find me, they cause that I need to run for my life. And the way where David is describing his departure, he's using the word yagiruhu, Let's go back and look at the Mesuzas David again. The Malam again, with more precision. Shagam, third line. I skipped a little bit in the Malam, but we'll come back there in a moment. Let's just go look over here. What's over here? Shagam im yagiruhu al yidei cheref. Hagam sheshaul va'anoshav yagiru es David al yidei cheref. They will knock David down. They yagiru. They're drawn. Let's translate the word over here according to the Malam. They're drawn. Okay. They are drawn after David. I don't really know how to translate this precisely. Hagam sheshaul va'anoshav yagiru es David. Does it mean to terrify? Maybe it means, according to the Malam, it means fear. It means to terrify. We're translating the word over here until now means to pour, to cast down. But the word also, yagur, means to be afraid. Doesn't the word yagur also mean to be afraid, to terrorize? What does the Malam say?
To terrify.
Look at the Malam Pasuk Yud Beis. The Malam Pasuk Yud Beis, the Pasuk Yud Beis says, yedacha lune. Oh, it means to fear. Mitul mochas saifa. From the sword. I think it means
fear from the sword. Down.
Okay, so we have another translation. Yagiruhu, they terrify David through the sword. So we have a new translation. They will be terrified. Whole new translation. Terror. They, even though they terrify David by holding up the sword and threatening to kill him, to the degree that David and his men have to escape, and they have to flee, and they have to abandon their stronghold, to the point where their homes are now the menos shu'alim, the termites have the animals have taken up residence in my home. David has a home. He has a castle. He has a cave. He has this, he has that. And while David is there, the animals don't come inside because you don't let animals come into your home. But because David has been terrified and David has fled and departed from Eretz Yisrael, David's home has now become the Menos Shu'alim. So according to this interpretation, we're not describing the Menos Shu'alim as a curse. Everyone on this page is taking this Pasuk Yud Aleph, and the second half of Pasuk Yud as a description of the curse that David wishes to bring upon his enemies. According to the Malbim, the second half of Pasuk Yud and Pasuk Yud Aleph is describing what Shaul is doing to David. Shaul is chasing after David. He's searching every cave, every cave, every tunnel. Number two, David has terrified David by lifting up the sword and making it clear that he wants to kill David. And David has no choice but to run away. And when David runs away, his home, his possession, his possessions, his palace has now become the residence of the foxes because it's desolate. That's how the Malbim appears to learn. And we're going to touch the word yagiruhu. It means they terrify. Who's they? Shaul, as it says in the Targum, yidachalune. Yidachalune means terror. It means fear. In Aramaic. Let's again see one more time with the Malbim. Avol, the Malbim again, those words, the three lines into the Malbim on the bottom of the page in that paragraph. Shagam im yagiru al yidei cherev, hagam sheshol anoshav, yagiru es David. They terrify David. Al yidei cherev, to the point where David has to run away. David has to flee from the caves that he's hiding in, to live chutz laretz, and now the caves where he was living until this point now become the residence of the foxes. B'chol zois, now this is the segue into the next pasuk, which is a very hard pasuk. We did over here over the Malbim, the Radak, and the Mitzudois. Let's now go, and we did Rashi also. Okay, now let's go now to the next. We have to really go back to Rashi, and how Rashi really learns the word over here, what it means over here, Hamugarim b'morod. Paratz nachal me'ir me'im gor. Okay, I gotta go look it up and see what it means, what Rashi translates. Okay, we have two translations. Fear, Malbum, Targum, versus the Mitsudois and the Radak, which means to flow. The flow and the casting down. As the blood is flowing, or the person's body is being thrust, is collapsing, is being pushed down. Now we go to a very difficult pasuk. Pasuk Yudbeis v'hamelech, yismach be'elokim, yishalel kol hanishpabo. They will, all those that swear in his name will rejoice. Ki yisocher pi doivrei shoker. It will be closed up, the mouth of those who speak falsehood. Who is the king?
Yeah.
Me, Omar El Me. Who is the king? There are three perushim on this page, at least three perushim with the king. Most commentators learn David is the king of this pasuk, not Hashem.
Well, he's not at the moment, right?
He was anointed.
He's the king designate.
Okay, he's the king designate. Is that so, or he's mamish the king? Big sugya, I don't know. Big sugya, we have to study Sefer Shmuel to really understand these moments, this tekufa. Very complicated, I don't know anything about this. It's been unfortunately a very long time since I learned this. And okay, that's a sugya. What is the status? But over here, most of the Farshim here learned that at this moment in time, when it says when Melech is referring to himself, others will learn that it refers to Hashem. You know, it's not, you know, Melech, you know. Melech is Hashem.
Hashem is mentioned in the pasuk.
Yismach. Hamelech yismach. So Elokim can mean then, if Melech means Hashem, Elokim means by authority. Elokim doesn't mean Hashem. Okay, Elokim, who says Elokim? Always Elokim means Advar Elohim Yavo. Ad Elohim Yavo Dvar Shenehem. Elohim doesn't always mean Hashem, it means sometimes authority.
Yeah,
okay, so let's put that aside for now. And then the third interpretation is, it refers to Shaul. Shaul is the Melech of this pasuk. Okay, let's take a look at the Farsha. Okay, it's a hard pasuk. Let's see, maybe we don't have time to finish it. We'll just start at least pasuk Yibbeis in the Mitzudah David. Okay, the Mitzudah David pasuk Yibbeis says, Vahamelech al Atzmayamar. David now is referring to himself. Shehu Yismach, that David will rejoice. See, this theme is very similar to the previous Mizmar, is where David is complaining to Hashem. No, Hashem, I don't understand. You have selected me to be the Melech. Shmuel has anointed me. Why then is my life in danger? It doesn't make sense. If you have given me the bracha, I'm the anointed one, how could it be that my life is so delicate and everyone's trying to kill me? What's going on here? So this is, when you, Hashem, will come and wipe out my enemies, my neshama yearns for you, Hashem, and when you will then curse, you will fulfill my curse by wiping out these people, and they will go into the grave, they will yavo b'sachti oisaretz, and their blood will flow through the sword, and their bodies will be cast in the forest, in the place of foxes. Ah! When the enemy is eliminated, then indeed this, that you have declared me to be the Melech over the Jewish people and have anointed me through Shmuel, oh, then v'hamelech, I, the promise, the haftacha of Shmuel, the bracha has come true, I will then rejoice in you, Hashem, in witnessing your glory and all those that swear in my name. And this is an incredible chiddush. Hey, Paro. We don't appreciate this. I never heard someone today say, I swear by the life of the President of the United States. I never even heard someone say, I swear by the life of Trump. I never heard someone so enamored by our political leaders that they're willing to say such words. I swear by the life of the President of the United States. But it seems... Oh, right. How do you know there is such a thing? Because that was the derech. We're so far removed from the way you're cursed by the king and you live by the... We're so far removed from this concept of how people talk and how you express yourself in ancient times. In Chumash, Yosef said multiple times, Chei Paro! by the life of Paro, this is not going to happen, or this will happen. This is a common way to express yourself.
They say, I spared by my children.
I never heard that before, but it's saying,
my mother.
Okay, I guess today I don't hear people talk like this anymore.
Didn't Rav Papa
today, what?
Did Rav Papa always swear by the halakha is like such?
Okay, could be, I'm not familiar, but who are Papa?
That's why we say the kids by
and see him. Is it Zech Nishmas? Because he swore by their children, by his children's names.
Yeah.
Okay, it seems that this was something that was very common in ancient times, where you would swear by the life of something that's important to you.
Especially if you were addressing that very king.
I swear by the life, okay, whatever it is. Hey, Paro.
Which he is, because he's standing in front of you.
So David here is saying, when you will eliminate my enemies, and I will be secure in my malchus, then I will rejoice in you, Hashem, and all the people who rejoice in my malchus, which means all those people who will then pledge their allegiance to me and display their belief in me to the degree that when they in their personal lives will swear, they will swear by my name. Then there will be a great time to rejoice, and all of the wicked people, these Rishoyim who say lies, the Doivrei Sheker, lies, 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 their mouths, they will be shut up. Finally, they'll be shut up. Sheker, it's always, you know, it always comes down to Sheker. Sheker, lies, what is the emes? Let's again, so the Mesista of the Labyrinth, so it's very beautiful what this Paschal means. He learns, he takes the path, the Melech is David. David is describing himself, Yahamelech, Al Atzmaya Mashu Yisnach Meshush, he will rejoice in the salvation of Hashem, Meshush Hashem. Vegam Kol Nishba Hashem Yisal, Bishu Osoi, Ki Anishba Hashem, Hu Maimin Boy. All those that, so the Mitzvah David, see, I told you something that is not wrong, because that's what's going to say over here in the other Mepharshim, but the Mitzvah did not want to say that. I don't know talk why he didn't want to say that. The Mitzvah very cleverly says, Kol Hanishba Bo. Who's Bo? In Hashem, not in David. This is not what I told you a moment ago, Chei Paro. Don't worry, we're going to come to that. But the Mitzvah says, all those that swear by Hashem, who swear in Hashem's name, Yishalel will rejoice, Bishua, so in his salvation, in the salvation of David, Ki Hanishba b'Hashem, Hu Ma'amin Boy. Anyone who swears in Hashem's name believes in Hashem. V'yishalel imkein behateshuash haba'oloi mimenu, and they will rejoice in the salvation, my salvation. Ki yishtabach atzmai. David here is praising himself. Al shehiskil ladas shehashem hu elokim. They praise themselves in acknowledging, understanding that Hashem is God. Okay, so it's always saying that v'amelech yismach elokim. Yishalel kol hanishba bo, all those people that are religious people and swear in Hashem's name will rejoice in my salvation, in the fact that my enemies have been eliminated and now my malchus is secure. Ki yisocher ka asher yisoger pi hamedaber olai sheker bifnei shol. When these wicked people who go and they say lashon hara about me and their mouths are shut, Shol is unable to overtake me, to conquer me. V'yos esmach ani va'anoshai hanishboi mashem. Repeats this three times, the Mitzvah. Three times he makes it clear as day that when it says kol hanishba boi, it refers to religious people. People who are maminim yirei shemayim, who swear in Hashem's name. Last week's parasha, loy tignoivu, v'loy V'loy sinachashu, v'loy sishakaru, and then loy sishbala, they don't swear falsely. There's a sequence. Last week's parasha, Rashi says, four things are in sequence. There are three in one pasuk, and the next is the next pasuk. Don't steal, don't deny, don't lie, and don't swear falsely. And Rashi says, this is the sequence. First, a person steals. Then he comes to lie. Then he comes, and then he comes to deny, to be a hachosha. And then v'loy sishakaru, do not lie, which is really the same thing as don't deny. And then you'll come to swear falsely. So in other words, anyone that testifies at a Senate hearing, and they swear, you're under oath, there's a penalty of prison if you swear falsely in front of the committee, and they openly swear out, they openly state outrageous lies in front of the Senate. So Rashi in last week's parasha tells us, how could it be that a person swears falsely, makes statements that are blatant lies? They get away with it, of course. I mean, you know, if he says boo, you'll put you in jail. How does it come? So Rashi in last week's parashat says, follow the money. That's what Rashi says. Follow the money. You only come to swear falsely if you first start out by stealing. Loi signoivu, v'loi sichachashu, v'loi sishakru, v'loi sishba b'shmi
lashokya. So that's a progression.
It's a progression. You only come to swear falsely when you start, it all started with stealing someone's money, taking money that does not belong to you. And that's delicious. Delicious. It really is. Try it. You'll see how you get yourself. I know, I once had an assignment and I caught myself. Wow, the power of money is unbelievable. It's just unbelievable.
You have 2 to 3 block mates having that chef about why you need everything that's under the subdivision of Lothian Noble. So why do I need to say each one of those phrases? And it starts to delineate why this Tana says you need this, because then you wouldn't know this if you didn't know this. And it lists each separate thing again and again and again.
There's no pleasure in swearing falsely.
It's called stealing.
It all comes back to stealing. The damage is all starts with loy tignoy. That's Rashi Chumash. Rashi and Chumash is all of the Yesodos, and we're dealing people that swear in Hashem's name, okay? Honestly, then it talks about when that happens, we'll be shut down. Okay, all those that speak words of sheker, why are they speaking words of sheker? What do they have to gain from following Shaul? Usually, it's about money. Follow the money. Usually in life, it all really comes down to money. That's what it says in Rashi and Chumash. What? Money, really, you know, people have very big financial obligations. They have children, and you know, they have to support their children, tuitions and this and that. And if you lose your parnasa, this is a nightmare. And people really will go to an extreme. And it's scary. Everyone has these nisyonos. V'amelech, so David over here, according to Rashi, Mitzvot of Amelech, is David describing himself, Yisnach, Melechim, will rejoice, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and people are going to rejoice with me. David has followers. David has fans. Okay, people that are loyal to David. Yishalel kol hanishva. Who are my followers? Who are the people that align themselves with my sappiness? Religious people who are Yirei Shamayim. Religion, and when they rejoice with me, they will rejoice with me when these wicked liars are shut down. When their mouths are closed shut. Now look at the Mitzvah Siyum, because there are some important words over here. The word Yisocher. This is a big topic over here in the Minach Hashai. Hu kamo Yisoger means to close. Okay, this is the Rashi. We don't have to stop. It's very late. But look, let's see the Rashi. Now this, we'll do more tomorrow on this. V'amelech yismach al atzmo hoya oimer. Rashi parallels what it says in the Mitzvah Siyum. That David is describing himself. Shrei kvar hoya nimshach. He was already anointed. So you see over here, someone asks this question. David was already a melech. Even how could there be 2 melechim? Ain shnei melechim mishamshim bekeser echad. Shaul is still the melech, right? He has followers. Okay, Shaul ain melech b'loyam. And David says that he's the melech. How could there exist such a possibility of 2 kings at the same time? Tough question. Yishalel kol.
It's like we talk about the president-elect, right?
Okay. President-elect, it's a very dangerous time in his
transition.
The transition team is in motion. Yisalel kol hanishba boy, kishayiru shetoshi eni, when those people who swear bow, Rashi over here is being very politically correct. He's not telling us who the bow is. Those who swear in bow, who's bow? Is bow the subject bow Hashem, or is the subject me? Doesn't say. Kishayiru shetoshieni yishalalu v'yisparu, they will praise, they will glorify kol hadveikim b'cha, all those people who cleave to you. Oh, they do. I'm sorry. That's Beirish. V'nishbon b'shmech. I'm sorry. So Rashi says just like exactly what it says in the Mitzvot, or the other way around. The Mitzvot from Rashi, the subject of the swearing is Hashem. All those people who are Yirei Shamayim. Okay, to swear you need to be Yirei Shamayim. What does it say in the Pasuk? And it says it twice, this idea in Chumash or Mayesh. You probably know by heart the Pasuk is there's a whole list, and the last thing in the list is.
I don't know if you need that.
All right, you have to fear. There are certain whole conditions. Then, so Rashi in Devarim, you have to follow all these conditions. Then you can swear in Hashem's name. They will rejoice in Hashem. Ki yisocher. What is the word ki yisocher? Yisosem kmova yisochru mayonois tohom. The tohoim, the fountains of the earth, were closed. After the, at the marble, after 40 days, the waters came forth for 40 days, and then the waters, the fountains were shut down. And here as well, when the wicked people, when they will be shut down. All right, there's a lot more, not a lot more, but we have to go over do some other very interesting things over here. Tomorrow, Mishnah will continue, we'll take now a short break, and we're going to learn today about Pesach Sheni. Friday is a holiday. Holiday, Pesach Sheni.
Sorry.
Friday is Pesach Sheni.
Bring in your masses.
I brought it.